This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Welcome to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of low-budget cinema.
Is another apocalyptic prediction about to come true? Winds of death sweep across the world, and whole continents will be cast adrift in an ocean of blood.
Hi, I'm Chris, and along with Jeff, we're bringing you the very best and worst of horror, sci-fi, action, exploitation, kung fu, and women in prison movies from the 1970s to today. Be sure and check out reallyawfulmovies.com for reviews, interviews, lists, and terrific movie giveaways.
From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 56, Dario Argento's Phenomena.
Yes. This is a special episode in the sense we're playing the Phenomena soundtrack we got on the turntable. And, you know, when people say to me, why do you like horror? We've talked about this in the past, but I mean, if I had to put my finger on it, I would say Dario Argento. I love this man. I mean, this guy, when I first got into horror, I mean, you know, I've talked about this in the past, but I mean, you know, you start off with your Fridays, your Nightmares, your Halloweens, but then you start hearing about these masters, right?
Yeah.
That come from, you know,
Parts unknown. Like
in
wrestling.
This case, yeah. In this case, Italy.
Yeah.
And I remember hearing about Dario Argento and one film in particular, Suspiria. And doing whatever I could to track down that movie. And when I finally did, my mind was blown. I was introduced to a whole new world of horror. And then from Suspiria, I went on to watch Tenebrae, and I went on to watch his early giallo films, you know, your Cat Nine Tails, your Foot Flies and Grey Velvet. And eventually, you know, it's going on and on, I made my way to Phenomena. And this is a phenomenal movie. I mean, this is Dario's ninth film. He made this one right in between Tenebrae and Opera, which are stone cold masterpieces. This is a masterpiece. This is 1985. This stars a young Jennifer Connelly, a 15-year-old Jennifer Connelly, in her second role ever.
Obviously best known for the harrowing and crazy Requiem for a Dream.
I would say harrowing and heroin-related.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of people remember a young Jennifer Connelly in Labyrinth, and that was 1986. That was after Phenomena. Mm-hmm. Dario actually saw Connelly in her very first movie, Once Upon a Time in America, which is an incredible swan song by Sergio Leone.
Yeah, spaghetti and western.
He took it and made it into sort of a gangster type of movie, and he saw her and said, I want this girl for my movie Phenomena. So he imported, Jeff Connelly to, Italy or Switzerland, and they made this movie. So this predates Labyrinth by 1 year. So yeah, Dario's ninth film, Jennifer Connelly's in it, Donald Pleasence is in it.
Mm-hmm.
How much better can you get than Donald Pleasence?
No.
I mean, the man is a treasure. I love
seeing him. Yeah, Loomis is large in this movie.
That's okay.
That's terrible.
I'll forgive that. So, when this movie begins, we're in the Swiss Alps, and we start by seeing, and I'm just going to say, right from the beginning, I mean, Dario Argento, I mean, the guy has been referred to as the Italian Hitchcock, okay? And a lot of that is because of his earlier giallo films, which are straight up sort of murder mystery, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that he could build suspense, and then when it came to we started with Suspiria and Inferno and this film. We started throwing in some supernatural elements. But I mean, the other thing is he's a master with the camera. He's a master with visuals. You know, I mean, the man is a painter with the language
blood,
of cinema.
With blood, as you said earlier.
Blood,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So
beautiful.
I mean, right away we're in the Swiss Alps, and this film looks fucking incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. And there's a bus. And this girl misses the bus. And she's trying to find her way, you know.
She's beside herself. She's lost. She's panicking.
Yep. And she enters a home. And, you know, I'm a foreigner.
I'm a foreigner. Help me. I missed my bus.
Yeah, somebody help me. And all of a sudden, like, there's this thing that we see chained, right?
Yes.
And something gets loose. And before you know it, the chain is wrapped around this girl's neck.
Mm-hmm.
And scissors are...
Yeah, emerge and slice into her hand.
Right
into
her hand. And I gotta say, I mean, this is beautiful. You know what I mean? And this is gonna say, you're gonna say, oh my god, like, you know, a girl's strangled by a chain and stabbed with scissors. Is that beautiful? The way he shoots it, it's fucking gorgeous. And then she runs and she finds herself in this grotto.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a waterfall. And this music is making me want to talk like this. You know? And she's being chased. And all of a sudden, she's pushed back into this plate of glass. And she's being stabbed.
Mm-hmm.
How would you describe the weapon, Chris?
Like a pike. Like a long, silvery, sharp spike.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fashioned into a spear that's in two. And that, and the way they draw the scene out makes it so much worse than if it was just your average knife. It's fashioned like almost like a Roman pointing spear or something, and it's put together and then used. It just adds a new dimension of horror to it. Mm-hmm. As she's, you know, speared, decapitated, and sent into this waterfall.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, as she's getting stabbed and getting, you know, her head falls through this plate of glass, she gets decapitated and her head falls down this waterfall in beautiful slow-mo.
Yeah.
And I'm going to keep using the word beautiful and gorgeous to describe, you know, scenes that are otherwise horrific, but that's the magic of Argento, right? So then, the film proper begins, and we're introduced to this entomologist, played by Donald Pleasance, and he plays Professor McGregor. And he's confined to a wheelchair, and there's a killer about in this Swiss area.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, called the Swiss Transylvania.
Yes.
And the inspectors go to this entomologist, professor of insects, for his help in.
And obviously, somebody's found a severed head.
Found the head. We assume the girl's beginning, right?
And you know, obviously,
and this is like 8 months hence because of the decomposition. Yep.
Yeah, there's this lots of detail about the forensics and use of bugs to determine body decomposition, and this is, you know, as I said, very detailed. There's lots of science in this thing, and we go through the larva and the pupa and the stages of what bugs are introduced to a corpse when. Mm-hmm. And this goes on for like 10 to 15 minutes. And so we learn more than we ever wanted to from, you know, any episode of Bones or CSI that we would have ever, you know, imagined. And then we should say that this guy, he, as you mentioned, he's disabled. And he has a man Friday who's not really a man, but
Inga. It's a female.
Inga. But it's not even of our species.
It's a simian.
It's his helper monkey.
Yep.
Inga.
Yep.
Whose ass is rather distracting, and who helps him, you know, procure different items that are too, you know, far beyond his reach.
Yep.
And he points this monkey in with his laser pointer.
Yeah, sort of like a Monkey Shines, George Romero.
Yes,
where there's a similar,
I was thinking that too, yeah.
Yep. And, so, I mean, you know, he's got this, at one point he pulls away this curtain sort of thing, covering up a cave, and there's a severed head.
And it's maggots eating it.
Well decomposed, maggots eating it. And he surmised that it's been 8 months and 15 days since...
15 days since it was...
It's been 8 months and 15 days since you've locked my hand away. I apologize.
disgusting.
But yeah, there's a killer about. Anyway, next thing you know, we're being introduced to the character of Jennifer Corvino. And this is played by Jennifer Connelly. And she's... sent to this the school in the Swiss Alps, and
it's the Richard Wagner International School for Girls.
Yes,
and this is sort of harkens back to Suspiria, which also had sort of a strange school in the middle of nowhere. Although that was obviously ballet, and this is just an international school for like English speakers, like diplomats, kids, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and Corvino, Jennifer Corvino, is the daughter of a film star named Paul Corvino,
not to be confused with Paul Sorvino from Goodfellas or Mira. Sorvino.
Yep.
I was thinking, you mentioned Suspiria earlier, and I was introduced to that far earlier, and at this time, you know, I was into all these typical guy goes on a rampage movies with girls sequestered in a house, and the maggots and the ballet school of Suspiria and the supernaturalness of it. Mm-hmm. I was too young to appreciate how amazing that was till I saw it again, and then realized how just mind-blowing that
was.
Well,
I will say, like, I mean, when it comes to my top 10 favorite horror films, Suspiria is number one. When it comes
really?
To, oh, yeah. When it comes to my top 10 favorite movies, I would say Suspiria is at least in the top 10. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do vacillate between Suspiria and Bride of Frankenstein, depending upon my, yeah. you know, but I mean, yeah, Suspiria is my absolute favorite. But I mean, this, I really have a soft spot in my heart for this one here, Phenomena. I love it. So, I mean.
Yeah, well, it takes the otherworldly aspect of that, like a school in the middle of nowhere, and a weird, ethereal, odd, otherworldly, as I said, because everyone is, of course, speaking different languages, and it just adds to mm-hmm. the sense of discomfort and discombobulation. You almost feel like a tourist.
And to add to the sense of discombobulation, Jennifer suffers from narcolepsy. What do you call when someone sleepwalks? Is there a
I'm not sure, but yeah.
She's a sleepwalker. Yeah, yeah. And whenever, you know, he's like tossing and turning, and he even has visions at certain points of like people who are going to be, you know, people getting dispatched in very, you know, gruesome ways, and these sort of, they're almost like premonitions, right?
Yes, and this is foreshadowed by like her being an oddball. She's introduced to her French roommate, and this is a boarding school, yeah. and her roommate Sophie, and she admits that she's a vegetarian, which is odd for this kind of a movie filmed in 1985, and all that's been left there to eat is baby food for Sophie's younger brother, that her parents were there visiting her,
yeah.
and so she takes this baby food and starts eating it with a toothbrush.
There's no spoon available.
There's no spoon, yeah. yeah. And yep. so this foreshadows her, like, that she's the outsider and she's the oddball.
Yep.
And when the headmistress comes in, who's obviously the stern Teutonic type, who tells them, you know, go to bed. Like, what are you guys doing, you recalcitrant? You know, no good nicks. You know, put away your posters and all this stuff, and trying to prevent them from being, you know, having interests like typical teen girls, and mm-hmm. she is obviously the outcast right from the beginning.
Yep.
And her sleepwalking comes into prominence later.
Yep. And when she does sleepwalk, I mean, there's always this. It's always preceded by this incredible shot of like this long white hallway
with
doors on all. Well, you know, like just doors on. Like, it's almost like a corridor with you know, like in a
yeah,
hotel
you mentioned
or something.
Stanley Kubrick.
Very Kubrickian. Yeah. Yes. And then. The music is pounding and driving and everything, and and all of a sudden, you know, she's just walking and she's seeing these things and experiencing these things, and in one of her, I guess she's kind of half asleep, half awake, she sees a murder, she witnesses mm-hmm. a murder, and it's another just gloriously bloody, beautiful murder, another one of the schoolgirls, one of her
yeah.
classmates, and, then she gets picked up by these kind of these Swiss hooligans. I don't know what you want to call them.
Yeah, I guess she awakens because she's barefoot and wandering around this abandoned sort of mansion. She emerges in some woods and stumbles out onto the road, and she's hit by a car driven mm-hmm. by these two Swiss idiots.
Yeah,
and, initially, they appear to be good Samaritans, and they say, oh, you know, they ask her in various European languages, you know, are you okay? And they help her, too. She comes to, they help her up, but then it turns out they just throw her into their car mm-hmm. and start almost like, sort of abusing her, and
yeah.
she's trying to, you know, scream.
Rest herself free. And
yeah.
And she ends up rolling out of her car and down a hill and into the clutches of Inga.
Yes.
And then she meets up with Donald Pleasance.
Yeah.
And they sort of develop this fast friendship. And
yeah, because Donald Pleasance's lab is right by the road, conveniently located yeah. by the roadside where this Swiss duo hit her with their car. And yeah, they develop a kinship because Donald Pleasance is an entomologist. Mm-hmm. He studies bugs. And she, I don't know if I want to say, I don't know, Gregor Samsor from The Metamorphosis, mm-hmm. from Kafka. He turns into a bug. And this woman has a kinship with bugs. She's like the...
some sort of psychic bomb.
She's like the St. Francis Assisi of insects. So she talks to bugs, and bugs respond to her.
Yeah.
I think the good doctor says at some point, like, one of the bugs was emitting some sort of pheromones or something,
yeah.
and she
mm-hmm, yeah.
they were attracted to her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's almost like the queen bee, or I don't even know if that's right. I don't know.
Yep.
I don't remember anything.
And you know what I mean? Like,
it's kind of disturbing. Like, she's 15,
yep.
buxom, in a nightgown, in panties and walking around, and there's something about bugs sort of smelling her and being enticed by her. Something very disturbing about that.
Yeah. I was going to say something else, but I'm just not going to say it, because, you know. Yeah. But, I mean, I've had, like, a lifelong crush on Jennifer Connelly,
yes.
So, I mean, you know, I don't want to say it. But, so, yeah, her and Professor McGregor developed this friendship, and she starts to realize her kinship and her affinity with bugs. And, you know, meanwhile, back at the school, I mean, she's starting to become, feel like a freak, and they want to submit her to this EEG test, and figure out what's going on with her, and
yeah, they you know, and she insists, oh, I've been checked by the best doctors in America. There's nothing wrong with me. But they basically force her to, you know, attach electrodes to her scalp and to see what's wrong with her. They think she's an epileptic. They accuse her of being on drugs. Mm-hmm. They say it's and probably rightly so. That's not normal to be walking around. You know, barefoot around these strange, eerie, abandoned mansions in the middle of nowhere and waking up by the side of the road.
Yeah. So. Well, one thing I want to say, though, I mean, like, when you consider the fact that, I mean, this film was made in 1985, right? And this character, Jennifer Corvino, I mean, she had a lot of, like, I mean, agency in the sense, like, there was never a time when I felt like she was never fully in control. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, a lot of times in the genre, especially in the 70s and 80s, it was maligned for the fact that it was a very misogynistic genre. And yes, you have women being killed by this unseen killer, but I mean, this character played by Jennifer Connelly, I mean, she was, I'm not going to say a tough chick, but there was something about her. Like, you knew, she always had this sort of this sense of, like, no matter what's happening, I'm in control.
Yeah.
You know? Even when she's swimming in an infested pit full of maggots and, like,
pit,
remains of bodies, she always seemed there was something, you know, you always knew that this, she was going to come out on top. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. Later on, her roommate Sophie sneaks out to meet her boyfriend. And, of course, Jennifer once again sleepwalks, and Sophie sort of meets the killer and gets, gets killed. And then Jennifer finds this glove. She's led to the glove by a firefly.
Yeah, because she has a kinship with the fireflies.
Mm-hmm. And she takes the glove to the doctor, and, you know, he notices the maggots on it, and they sort of, like, think, okay, whoever is doing this, whoever is killing these women, somehow through the insects, you know, you can find out where they are.
It's very convoluted.
It sounds ridiculous, but when you watch the movie, it makes total sense. It's totally incredible. Now, so she comes back to her class, to her school, and she starts getting mocked, right?
Yes, like, oh, you talk to bugs. Oh, I'm a spider. You know, I can control you. All this stuff. I don't know, a little bit like Spider-Man. Obviously, kids are mean and
right.
Picking apart anyone's weakness, and that is obviously one. If you have a telepathic, as the doctor described, ability to talk to insects.
Well, that's not a weakness. I mean, that's a strength, because all of a sudden she goes into this sort of trance, and, you know, bright lights and hair.
Yeah, and as she's being bullied, she summons the power of the flies.
Right, right.
And they come.
Swarm.
They swarm, yeah.
The school. Very, very almost Carrie-esque, Carrie White, but, you know, her telepathic ability involves insects. And they swarm the school, and then, you know, it's funny because, I mean, earlier on, one of the headmistress, you know, she's calling Jennifer evil. She's calling her Beelzebub, because
Beelzebub
is the Lord of
the
Flies.
The Lord of the Flies.
So, this is the Lady of the Flies, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing evil about Jennifer. She just has this ability to, this affinity of insects. Meanwhile, you know, there is this killer that's loose within the vicinity, often these young girls. In fact, besides Sophie, Pleasance had an assistant named Greta, who was also killed.
She was killed as well, yeah.
And is it spoiling anything to say that within the Don Pleasance gets...
speared?
Yeah, he gets speared.
Okay.
And unfortunately, when he gets speared, poor Don Pleasance, I mean, he's you know, he's a paraplegic, and he's on one of those stair things, right? And what do you call those things? Like, up and down the stairs, and
To help the assisted living, you know, a motorized thing to help him go to his second floor in his wheelchair.
And there's a killer with a hat and a trench coat. You can't really see the face.
No.
And poor Inga.
The monkey.
The monkey is outside, literally going apeshit.
Yeah. Right? Very good, very good.
Knowing that something's going to happen. And Pleasance is there, and he's stuck in between the floors. And then the killer brings Pleasance down right into the spear, and then right into the gut.
And Inga is beside herself.
Inga,
is her master has been kebabbed, mm-hmm. as it were.
And Inga no longer has a master, and she's wandering aimlessly and picks up a straight razor. And that will come into play later on, too.
Yeah.
I don't think we're gonna go that far into spoiler territory.
No. But, yeah, a monkey wielding a straight razor, that's something I'd never seen before.
Yeah.
And I was happy to do so.
Now, Jennifer wants to get the fuck out of there.
Of course.
She doesn't want to be killed. She doesn't want to be murdered. She's trying to get a hold of her father. Her father
is... Yeah, her father is obviously, big shot actor, is shooting a movie in L.A.
Keep talking and have the flip sides on the record.
Okay, yeah. Her father is, working on a film, and obviously being a big-time A-list actor, he's got an agent. So, young Jennifer...
Shapiro.
Yeah, Shapiro's the agent. Jennifer goes into a Swiss bank, the Schweizer Bank, and tries to get, I guess, money wired over to her via her her father's agent. Unsuccessful, as it turns out, because the headmistress, I guess, was it? Or one of them...
This is Frau Bruckner.
Frau Bruckner, yeah.
And this is played by Daria Nicolodi, who was actually Dario Argento's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And
she comes in and reassures Jennifer that, oh, it's taken care of. I've spoken to your father. I'll get the money to you. We'll have a flight back to Los Angeles for you the next day. You're going to be fine. And mm-hmm. she insists, I want to get out of the school. I can't spend another night in this place. For obvious reasons, she's being bullied and everyone around her seems to die. Mm-hmm. Reasons enough to get the hell out of Dodge.
Now, I was just saying, Daria Nicolodi, I mean, she was in a number of Argento films. She's also the mother of Ozzy Argento, the daughter. But yeah, so she picks up Jennifer and takes her back to her house. And... a lot of shit goes down.
Yeah.
A lot of shit goes down. I don't want to, say too much because there's so much to discover in this movie.
She's not normal. She's diabolic. That's one of the lines. I did do it justice there.
We talked about the pitful of maggots and human remains. I mean, we mentioned a monkey with a stray razor.
Yes.
So, I mean, there's so much that,
And this headmistress has got the... inspector from the Swiss canton chained up in her basement, so she means business and she's mean, and Jennifer has to get the hell out of there.
There's also a deformed dwarf
who's
chained up somewhere. There's so much.
There's so much, yeah.
But I mean, this movie is, it succeeds on so many levels. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were saying everything, if you take all the elements and you sort of separate them, it wouldn't work, right? But when you combine the amazing cinematography with the incredibly hypnotic music, and this
Claudio Simonetti and
Goblin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But also like some of the metal we grew up loving.
I was gonna say this soundtrack, unfortunately, only has the sort of incidental Goblin music, which is great. But there's also some really like hard rock songs by Iron Maiden, Motorhead,
yeah.
Even Bill Wyman, who was the bass player from the Rolling Stones. Yep. He contributes to the soundtrack. So you got the cinematography. You've got some solid acting. I mean, Jennifer Connelly is incredible.
Really composed, really like strong in the lead.
It's
amazing for someone that belies her age.
Yep.
She was great.
You got some great, great kills. Some incredible gore.
Incredible, and also just a ethereal, odd quality of just feeling out of place because things don't make sense. Everyone's speaking a different language. They shift from one scene to the next. You don't know if it's a dream or not. It's just all the elements of classic Italian gore.
Yeah.
The only kind of supernatural horror that we really like.
Yeah, and then, at the end of the day, I mean, you have a master behind the camera and in his prime,
mm-hmm.
Dario Argento. I mean, I mentioned Bill Wyman. I mean, the Rolling Stones... they had a period where they were untouched, It's like Stone Cold masterpiece after masterpiece after masterpiece.
Yeah.
They didn't know when to say when, right? So,
well, Bill Wyman did. he left the band, right? And when they turned to shit,
yeah,
and good for him.
So
but
there,
yeah,
there was diminishing returns, and I mean, Argento is, you know, I mean, he may not be as a, much of a force as he used to be, but I mean, he still remains because of, like, you know, at least half a dozen, if not more, just Stone Cold masterpieces. He is my favorite horror director. I've had the honor and pleasure of meeting the man. I've also met his daughter, Asia. But I mean, I just don't know. I wouldn't be the horror fan I am today if not for Dario Argento. This film Phenomena is, it's, I'm not gonna say it's his best movie. It is Dario's, one of his personal favorites. Mm-hmm. But it's, I think it's in the top four or five Argento films, and it's amazing. I absolutely love it. I mean, for me, it's a 4-star movie.
For sure. And then we're going to also be able to shortly compare it to Tenebrae, which we're going to examine.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's another one of my absolute favorites. You know, the only thing I can say I've learned from this movie is that Argento's prime is untouchable. I learned that every time Donald Pleasance is on screen, it's an absolute treat.
It really is.
I love Donald Pleasance. And, yeah, I love it. That's all. It just reaffirmed my love for Argento.
Biblical references abound. There's a lake of fire. There's some really harrowing scene with Jennifer underwater, trying to escape both the flames and drowning. And it's mesmerizing as it's so beautiful yet harrowing at the same time.
And then she rises up and it's almost like baptismal.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
And she just emerges, and we won't spoil what happens when she finally emerges from the water, but it's stunningly beautiful.
And then what you find then you're gonna see
all hell break loose.
Something in a movie you've never seen before.
No.
If you haven't seen this one, so you know, if we're being coy, it's because we don't want to spoil too much.
No.
All we can say is go out there, watch Phenomena, watch Desperia, watch Tenebrae, Opera, Canon and Tales, Four Flies and Grey Velvet, The Bird of the Crystal Plumage. Go on and on and on. I mean, Dario Argento, I salute you. And for more, check out
www.reallyawfulmovies.com, and we'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Thank you.